Well, we'll continue on with looking at Jesus on his journey to victory today. And we'll be in the book of Luke mostly. We'll look, do a few other references, but turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19 as we get that way, as we look at that. And today's message is, obey the will of the Father. Oh my, that sounds tough. No doubt that it'll be a tough one for us. As we're turning to our Bibles, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice in that. Amen. It fills me to hear you guys say it, and when I say it, what if I came up here and said, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will. You guys would probably go, rejoice, I guess. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Man, we have to be passionate when we come before the Lord. And when I say that, I understand we come to the Lord with different things on our heart. I don't mean that, but passionate about our relationship with Him. And we'll look at that today in Luke chapter 19. We'll start in verse 28. Verse 28. Man, this is it. When we talk on Palm Sunday, when he said this, he was giving parables and he went through different things. And Jesus, as we went from Luke chapter 6 and 7 a couple weeks ago, he went through several different things. But now we get in there and he says, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here, and if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Let me stop there for just a minute. Sometimes people ask, why do you do that? Why do you give to the church? Why do you give so much? Because the Lord has need of that. By the way, we have a goal we're going for here at Prayer of Faith to be debt-free in 2023. And I'm going to ask a favor next week. If you will bring in, we talked a while back about that sacrifice. If you will bring a sacrifice gift into the house of the Lord next week, a sacrificial giving gift, so that we can get towards that. I don't ask a whole lot for that. I mention it because times have been really tough over the last couple years. But I'm asking you guys to do that next week as we celebrate Jesus. And I think when people say, why do you do that? You look around, you see your friends have this. The friends paid for that. Why aren't we there? And then you look back and say, oh, look at all I've given to the church over the years. We could have had this, that, or the other thing. Big deal. Have it and then what? Have it and not have this fellowship? Have it and not have this family by not coming? Have it by what cost, what means? But Jesus told them, when they ask you, say, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and they found it just as he had said. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, just as Jesus told them to, the Lord has need of him. And then they brought him to Jesus and they threw their own clothes on the colt. And they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Now imagine this. Different books, different gospels say it a different way. But they knew Jesus was coming. Word had got out. He's going. And a multitude showed up. And they start throwing their coats down on the road. And they start cutting down the palm branches and waving those on the road. Verse 37 of Luke chapter 19. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Matthew chapter 21 says it this way, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The Gospel of Mark says it this way, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. However you look at it, they are praising Jesus. He is coming to town. And they are welcoming him into their town with praise and singing and shouting. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd. And they said, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Man, if I was a Pharisee, I'd be concerned right about then. He said these things and then told them, hey, you don't know what you're talking about, basically. So Jesus came into town and we looked at different aspects of Jesus' journey. Today, as we look at the will of the Father, we can see one thing happens today. The great reception. Woohoo! Jesus has come to town. Wait till the end of service and see what happens then. He's come to town, they're rejoicing. The great reception. Then the next couple of books or chapters in the book of Luke and the other gospels say the same thing. There was a great reception for him coming. I can just picture him. Jesus weeps over the town. And let me read this, verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. They are rejoicing about his coming into and the presence of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And he is now weeping over that city. He said, man, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. And he basically said, the enemy's going to come and they're going to encamp around you. And they're going to flatten you and they're going to level you. And it says, they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Now I picture them coming through and them all hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna, throwing down their coats and their jackets and their palm leaves, waving those and throwing those in the road. And then I just picture them dismounting, going into the temple immediately and cleansing the temple by flipping over the tables and chasing people out. But the great reception, here's what Jesus did. He cleansed the temple. He had his authority questioned. He issued warnings to the listeners, especially to the powerful ones, the religious leaders. Jesus spoke in parables. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. As an example, he said. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Jesus predicted his betrayal by one of his disciples, Judas. Jesus also predicted one of his disciples would deny him 3 times. Jesus knew what was coming. Now flip over to Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. And Jesus, when he's facing all this, what does he do? He went out and prayed. It says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He wasn't far away, but he left their presence. And he knelt down and he prayed, saying this, and listen carefully, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He knew what he was facing. He knew what lied in the road ahead of him. And he prayed to his Father. He says, if, God, if it's your will, man, take this away from me. But if it's not your will to remove this cup from me, so be it. Just make sure it's your will. But he still asked the Father, man, if there's any way, so be it. But if not, God, I understand. Because in the end, your will is what's most important. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. He prayed to God, and he prayed for God's will to happen. And then an angel from heaven appeared, and what? Strengthened him. How many, when you pray, need some extra strength when you're done? I do. Lord, give me some extra strength here. I'm praying, I'm pouring my soul out, Lord. But I understand if I still have to face this, if I still have to go through it, if I still have to deal with it, whatever it is. Lord, I pray you send an angel from heaven like you did to Jesus that gives me strength. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Oh. So he didn't stop when he was in agony facing that and dealing with that and knew what he had to face. He didn't say, I knew you weren't real, and walk away. And we do that sometimes. I'm talking about we, humankind. But not Jesus. He prayed more earnestly. God, I know you hear me. God, please. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Jesus had asked them to stay awake and not fall asleep while he went off to pray. And he came back, other gospels say, he came back three times and found them sleeping, frustrated. He said, you have to stay alert. Church, it's the same for us. We have to stay alert. Why? Lest we fall into temptation. And that temptation comes in many different forms, in many different ways. We were talking in Ground Zero Wednesday night about habits. And temptation sometimes isn't a bad, dirty, evil habit. It's just a habit that pulls us away from God. Now, it's the same for us. Temptation is, oh, what can we do? To which I uttered out immediately, law and order. Oops, I'm sorry, I watched too much of that. I can't get enough of it. I don't know. Does it pull me away from my time with God? Yeah, sometimes it does. And that's what I'm talking about. Temptation isn't always an evil, dirty thing. I'm not drawn to be with another woman instead of my wife. No, I'm just drawn to watch TV with her when I could be doing something different. You see what I'm saying? We have to be careful. Temptation comes in many different ways and forms. It's not always a dirty, evil thing. It's just something that may consume our time when we have better things we should be inputting into that time frame. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What does that mean? I'm going to make it simple. The answer, not the follow through. The answer is, it's submission. You know, we went down to Arlington to spend some time with Cindy's brother and sister-in-law. She works for the Arlington School District. And they had a shooting there. A kid walked up to another kid, point blank, shot and killed him. I said, oh my gosh, didn't know about it. It was on national news. We don't watch news anymore. Because I don't want to see that. But she had to deal with that. She's a counselor, and now she's been promoted in the last couple weeks. And guess what she got to do in her first or second week of the job? Now deal with this on a grander scale for students and teachers that saw it happen. And then we come home and said, oh my gosh, at a private Christian school, someone walked in and shot and killed three adults and three children. I thought, oh my gosh. We can get into the gun debate all day long, and I won't. First of all, the Bible tells me not to get into these debates about these things with people. But I thought, what is causing this? And I thought, it's submission. We don't like submitting to authority. We don't want to submit to the police when they pull us over. We want to tell them what we will and won't do for them. We don't want to submit to that. We don't want to submit to our parents. We don't want to submit to our teachers. We don't want our kids to submit to the teacher. God forbid the teacher be responsible for them during the day. So then we don't want our children to be submissive to the people in charge of them. We don't want to submit to authority. And church is full of people that don't want to submit to God either. And He's our authority. And we don't want to submit to Him. Why? Because He's going to tell me to do things or go places or give things I don't want to give. Like what? Your passion, your compassion, your love, your money, your time, your talents. I'll submit to this and I'll submit to the things that are comfortable, but I don't want to submit to those other things in the other areas of my life. I'd hate for church to use everything I had and I have nothing left. For who? I mean, for who? But when Jesus demonstrated that, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus demonstrated submission to the Father. Remember, that's Jesus could do anything. When He was hanging on the cross, they mocked Him. You're the Savior, get yourself down from there. And He knew He could. But He didn't use that freedom and that authority that He had, because He still had to fall under the authority of the Father. So there's your answer. It's submission. I can't help you in application, though. Other than tell you, submit. Jesus now gets arrested as soon as He's done praying. He's arrested in the garden. Betrayed by Judas. Then as they're talking, and drag Him off. Then He's denied by Peter. And then Jesus gets passed around like a hot potato. Who do they send Him to? They send Him to the Sanhedrin. Now everyone wanted Him arrested, but nobody wanted to deal with it. So they passed Him around to the Sanhedrin. Pontius Pilate took care of Him. Herod got hold of Him. And finally, to the people. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, verse 13. And we'll see Jesus after He was passed around. Oh, now He's given back to Pilate, by the way. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, he said to them, "You've brought me this man. And when you brought me this man as one who misleads the people," but he says, "indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him." By the way, church, as we talked about things a couple weeks ago that Jesus faced on His journey, we went through a litany of things. They gave Him great praise and they took it away from Him. Then they questioned His work. And again, people are making false accusations against Him. But he says, I found no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him of, nor did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, he says, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. He says, therefore, what am I going to do? I'm going to chastise him. Then I'm going to release him. For it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. By the way, that's why people were in town. They were in town when they found out Jesus was coming. They went to the edge of town, but they're in town for the feast, the celebration. Jesus now handed around. It's back to him. He says, but I'm going to release him. It's custom for us to do at the feast. And they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Now just think of the mindset of the people for a minute. This guy's claiming to be the king of the Jews. He's claiming to heal people. By the way, he healed some people on a Sabbath, I heard. Maybe they saw it. But if you remember, when we very first read as he was coming into town, they said they gathered to celebrate Jesus after seeing the miracles and the works that he had done. So some of these people even saw the miracles. But now knowing this and accusing him of those things, they said, hey, tell you what, you can keep that man, Jesus. Give us the murderer. You want to set one of them loose in your town? Now I want to ask who would set loose a murderer in their town. But I hope none of us would want to make that transition. And we could say, who would do that? Well, there's a whole group of people that wanted to do that. Verse 20 of Luke 23, Pilate therefore, wishing to release Jesus again, called out to them. Pilate is still wanting to set Jesus free. I'm sure he thought the same thing we're thinking. You guys are nuts. And what did they do? They hollered out, crucify him, crucify him. And he said to them a third time, why, what evil has this man done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore again chastise him and let him go. Uh-oh. It says, but they were insistent, demanding. I'm not going to go down that demanding road. Other than to say, boy, I dislike when I hear people demanding this, that, and the other thing. We demand justice. We demand answers. For what? The weather caused the lights to flash and you demand answers? You know, I don't know. But when people demand these things, on what authority are you demanding answers? But they were insistent. They demanded with loud voices. Oh, no. They got loud in there. And they demanded that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and all the chief priests prevailed. And listen how and what happened here. Verse 24. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, the murderer, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But listen to this. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Oh, no. Not the Father's will, but the will of the people. We have to be very careful. When we are dealing with challenges in our life, that we're not following our will or the will of the people, but we're following God's will. When I say the will of the people, were these influences in our life, our family, our friends, strangers. I don't know why we're letting them influence us. But family, friends, and strangers, and they influence us. Nevertheless, let my friends' will be done, and I'll do what they wanted me to do. Weddings, that's always a tough thing. Well, it hasn't been for me. I mean, in general, when you see a lot of these crazy things, and you think, oh man, the bride and or groom wants this, that, or the other thing, but all their friends press in. I wish I would have done this at mine. Well, you should have, but you missed out. Sorry, don't make your friend do it now. And they start pressing in. Nevertheless, not my will, Johnny, not your will, but the people's will, the bridesmaids want, you know, whatever. By the way, I apologize, we didn't have the birthday and anniversary slides. I know we've got some anniversaries coming up and some birthdays coming up this month and this upcoming week tomorrow. And I apologize, we didn't have those up there. Doggone the weather. I demand answers. Caused some computer problems with getting those announcements. But we bow down to the pressure of other people. And we do their will rather than our will, or what, rather than God's will. We do their will or our own will. And we just need to say, God, what do you want me to do? And half the time we know what he wants us to do. That little scoundrel that God told him, go this way. And he said, this way? Yes, I want you to go to that way. Okay, and he went that way. And then he got thrown into the ocean. Oh yeah, Jonah. Jonah didn't follow the will of the Father. He did his own thing. The Bible's full of people that wanted to do it their way. Didn't wind up too well for them. Jesus, when he came through here, let me get that verse, sorry. Jesus is now turned over. And Pilate said, okay, I'm going to let this murderer free. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Now we have the king on the cross, verse 26. And remember, we started out today, Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. And there's always this transition during the week that happens. And we're in that transition time, towards the end of that transition time, because he came in with a great celebration. He came in, everybody was glad to see him, the great reception. But now it says the king on the cross, as they had led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country on his way, laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Jesus carried it and struggled. And so now they have Simon pick up the cross and carry it. And again, the town is full of people. It says a great multitude of people followed him. And women also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, breasts which have never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us. And to the hills they will say, cover us. For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? Now when Jesus is hanging on the cross, it says there were two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And then when they had come to a place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Another example of a man on the path to victory. But can you imagine him being on the path to victory and he's hanging on the cross? And as he's hanging on the cross, he has the presence of mind to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I'm touched to this day by the presence of mind of Mark Caldwell in his final day, wanting to take communion and saying, I want to take communion one last time. Now we know today he's in communion with Jesus, but having that presence of mind to say, here I am, I want to take communion. And that was very difficult for him to take that and swallow that. And hear Jesus, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They just hung me on a cross. It hurts. Forgive them. And they delivered his garments and cast lots, and people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. And again, this church is where we have people, even when we stand strong in our faith, and people will mock us as well. Say, you claim to be a Christian. Look at all the trouble you're having. Let him save himself if he is a Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers, they also mocked him, coming and offer him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And it said, this is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him. And he said, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? He says, you see, we indeed are justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But even that one criminal said, this man has done nothing. He has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then there it is. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Some Christians have a real tough time with that last minute deathbed confession type thing and the salvation. That's the beauty of our Savior. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me. And guess where we're going? We're going to paradise. I want that ride. I want that journey. I want to be in paradise. We may think our house and our car and our family and our jobs and our stuff is paradise here on earth. Oh, no. I was walking through a junkyard the other day. I called my wife and I call it the museum. But it was a junkyard with my twin brother. He was looking for some parts for a car. And all we found were parts for my car that I didn't know I needed, but I took them anyway. But we're walking through there and we're talking about heaven. And I said, man, this is heaven right here. This is awesome. And I looked at him and said, can you imagine streets of gold? I said, this is heaven, but all this oil we're walking through, it's gold. And all these cars we're touching, they're gold. Just imagine that for a minute. Streets paved with gold. Today you'll be with me where? In paradise. That's what I want. I want to be in the presence of God. And I want to live a life that says I have enough works to go through the fire, that it'll stand the test. And God, when I stand before you, man, I want to know that I am happy and I'm glad to be here. I love being in his presence. but I can't, and I'm in His presence right now, but I can't wait till I'm in His presence in heaven. So now Jesus is on the cross. He's crucified. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Hanging on the cross, His final breaths, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, He breathed His last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, man, they beat their breast and they returned. But all His acquaintances and the women who followed Him from Galilee, they stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision or their deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then they took it down, they wrapped it in linen, and they laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was a preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with Him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how His body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Jesus came in to a great reception. Did things throughout the week. And then faced the great rejection. Pontius Pilate saw nothing wrong. Tried multiple times to set him free. But the people hollered out, loud, demanding voices. Be careful when you do things in loud, demanding voices. You may not know the consequences of those actions or the depth of them. Young people, obey your parents so they don't have to do things in a loud, demanding voice. But we don't know the depth of what that may cause. Jesus had the great reception, the great rejection, and now He's been crucified. He's been mocked. He's been spit upon. He was beaten. That wasn't in this gospel, but He was beaten before He had to pick up that cross and carry it. Now that's a heavy cross. I'm sure the one Jesus was crucified on was even heavier. And after being beaten, I wouldn't want to carry that either. In the midst of everything that Jesus faced and knew that was coming up, He knew He was going to be betrayed. At the Lord's Supper, at the Last Supper, Jesus said, "I'm going to be betrayed by one of you." And He told Peter, "By the way, you're going to deny me." "No, maybe all these other jokers, but not me, Jesus." He said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Not me, Jesus. "Jesus, I'm strong. I'm a pastor. Not me. Oh, fall into temptation? No. Maybe Eric Ferguson, but not me, Lord. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble." And it comes like that when we least expect it. Peter said, no way, me. These other people, yeah, those weak, poor, sad sacks, yes. But not me, Jesus. I'm strong. I'm here for you. Until they ask him, I don't know that guy. No, I wasn't with him. No, I'm not one of them. Jesus knew what he was going to be facing. In the midst of it all, what did he do? He followed the will of the Father. Listen, our road, we don't always have the same insight that Jesus had into what was going to happen. And our road to victory is intercepted with struggles and consequences of our actions and difficulties and health and financial and relationship issues. But remember when Jesus prayed, said an angel of heaven came down and gave him strength. And I pray that we have the strength and boldness to do the will of the Father rather than our will or the will of the people. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Palm Sunday. We thank you for the celebration that Jesus Christ had in his coming into Jerusalem. The great reception, but Lord, what a difference that week made when he faced the great rejection. Father, I pray this week that we are reminded of our celebrations, that we can celebrate those things. Lord, I pray that we remember when we get into struggles. Lord, I pray that you give us strength when we pray. Father, when we face consequences, when we think everything is going well, Lord, that we can lean on you and look to you. Father, as we prepare next week to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, help remind us this week of the struggles that Jesus faced. And be reminded of the struggles we face. And let us follow his example in dealing with those. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.